we look to the Lord to complete what He's looking to do, what He's seeking to do, what He's desiring to do, He usually meets us more than halfway. Do I get an amen? And obviously tonight, because it's the second day of Pentecost, this also reminds you when the calendar says that there are 2 days for Pentecost on the Jewish calendar, that it's going to last 2 days. Two full days. St. Peter says, one day is as a... Now, we're actually in the beginning of the third day. So, this feast is just about completed. What do you think of it? And the third day is brought in. Now, I'll remind you that when our Savior was born in the earth, He was actually the beginning of a whole new covenant. And the beginning of the first day was all intermingled. And we're in that season. We're in that season where things are being changed dramatically. And somebody, I believe it was Gail, that sent me an email about the Canadians. They're having a revival. And it's causing all kinds of stuff in the religious realm. And so the religious Canadians are having a problem with the Pentecostals now. Of all things. Can you imagine? And I just remind you that it's an awesome time that we're living in. I remember years back when I was a boy calling out to the Lord, well, I wish I would have wanted to live when you were on the earth and blah, 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 you know. Anybody ever do that kind of prayer? Thank you. Well, I did. And at one point later on in my life, He told me, you are. And of course, that was a very strange comment for me at that time. I am. And it was hard to digest. I am. I am living in the earth while He's in the earth. It's just His manifestation is a little different. And when He manifests in fire, it was on that chapter 2 of Acts. It says, in the Amplified it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning completed. Not when they were just practicing. So, when the day of Pentecost came, and it was fully completed, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. That's the part I want to concentrate on. Because the word that God was pushing into me for the feast was fire. And the fire of God is manifested in multiples of different ways, but I believe that it's always the presence of our God that is so awesome that we have a hard time sometimes to, consume that thought pattern. So I want to go to Acts chapter 7, and I want to kind of touch on verse 23. We're going to aim for verse 30. And verse 23 says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided, notice it's he decided, to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought, and I would definitely tell you that you have a circle needed around the word thought, because he was in his soul. That is, his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Did you ever think that you were the anointed Messiah to set somebody free, And by golly, they don't even appreciate you.
Yeah. Okay.
The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting, and he tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" He was actually perceiving out of his spirit a knowing that he would become. But he didn't discern it correctly, did he? Many times, we do the same. We're out of sync. It's not because the calling isn't there. It's not because the gifting isn't there. It's because we're either at the wrong place, at the wrong time, or it's the wrong season. But it doesn't mean that you're not called. Amen? So, verse 28, "Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" So they can't stand him. When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Verse 30 is kind of important. 40 years more had passed. An angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. So it's what? An angel. Appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And when he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. And as he went over to look more closely, so he's like me, he's very nosy, he heard the Lord's voice. "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground." 34, "I am indeed seeing. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt." So God is letting Moses know, "I'm aware." Is he aware differently today? Are his oppressed people the same? How many know that all over the earth right now there are oppressed believers suffering tremendously? They can't even worship publicly because they would be slaughtered like little animals. But God is aware. "I have heard their groanings and have come down to set them free." I have what? Come down to set them free. "Now, come, I will send you back to Egypt." You think he wants to go? No. This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself. Through the angel who appeared to him in the bush, he led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea and 40 years in the desert, etc. Now, I want you to go a little bit deeper. Hebrews, chapter 12. Okay? Hebrews, chapter 12. I want you to see that our God is the consuming fire that he is. So I want you to look at verse 26. "At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words, "once more," indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So now, the angels are able to manifest even in the midst of the fire of God. Moses saw it and was awed. I've seen multiples of different things in the realm of the Spirit only because of God's grace. It's not because I'm special. It's because of God's grace. And when He indicates to us that He wants to shake things, He's going to do a work in us that will transform us from what we were to what He needs us to be. For what? For the callings that are in us. If Moses was shaken and it took 40 years for him to get ready, was he thinking he was being prepared when he was in the desert? No. He didn't want to even think about going back to Egypt. He had already been rejected. Amen? If you've already been rejected, do you want to go back and face some more music? No. Not if you've got any kind of brain. You know, but yet God doesn't manifest through the brain. He manifests through your spirit. So you've got to be able to take the reality of your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your brain, all the logic that you have, set it aside and say, okay, here's my spirit man. Can I manifest and obey and go back if God manifests through my spirit? Yes. Will you still be rejected? Absolutely. Why? Because they're still in their minds. You have the anointing. You have been chosen to be prepared to do something great. Why? Because that's the calling of God for this house of prayer. You know, a few weeks back, when our brother Doug, he has no idea about our background. I've never given him all the ins and outs because you know what? I like to keep my mouth shut. Because I like God to speak through him. Okay? He knows a little bit, but not much, about where has happened and why the house of prayer was formed. But the bottom line is, I didn't say anything to him. And when he had that word about that the God of heaven would call those that he wanted in this place, that's my prayer. Don't bring just anybody off the street. Don't fill the house for the sake of a full house. That isn't worth anything. Jesus did not bring in the 5,000 that he fed on the mountain of multiplication, did he? He fed them, and he let them go home. And when then he started to tell them about communion, and he told them that he had something better than fish and bread to feed them, then they all walked away. So he didn't have to worry about anybody hanging out. Right or wrong? Okay? Only the 12 remained. Why? Because only the 12 were needed. You see, we have this mentality that big numbers are going to solve all our problems. Big numbers ain't going to solve anything. Thank you. You know, not every house is called to have big numbers, especially when it's starting to be formed. Now, we've been under formation for a while. And why? Because God is preparing us for something that He wants to do in this area. It's something that He wants to do. It's not something that He wants you to do. He wants to do it through you. And He wants to clean you up in order to get the job done. You say, oh my God, it's going to take 40 more years. No. Pete, you want to give up now? All teasing aside, I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, what are you doing? He says, if I told you now, you probably would run away. So I can tell you the same thing. What is He doing in you? If you knew now, you'd probably run. Okay? But little by little, when He pulled me and shoved me and did all these other things that He did with me, I didn't know what He was up to. Did I trust Him? No, not all the time. And I told Him so. I'm scared. I don't like this. It hurts. And He was shaking me. Yeah. And it was okay. Then he allowed lots and lots of different things to happen. And I didn't like it. But he kept reminding me, there's going to be a resurrection someday. There's going to be a resurrection someday. There's going to be a resurrection someday. Yeah. Are you ready for a resurrection? I hope so. What do you think happens when you come out of the grave and you're a new creation? All hell's going to break loose. Take a good look at Jesus. He walks into that synagogue in his hometown. He picks up the book. He declares who he is, Messiah. Right? They want to throw him over a cliff. That's the good news. I mean, when you think about it, if you got rejected, you're in good company. And that's what I was trying to get you to see Sunday. I mean, all these things that have happened to you are not accidents. Our God is a consuming fire, consumption, something that takes it all. A consuming fire. Why would he manifest as a consuming fire? Because we need it? Anybody got insight? Why would he manifest as a consuming fire? I mean, he's able to manifest as a wind. He's able to manifest in many ways. But why does he take this particular time slot, Pentecost, and manifest as fire? Why? Okay. Nothing can penetrate fire. Nothing will stand. Okay. Anything else? Yes. The Old Testament is filled with fire. Holy fire from him. Because there was unholy fire, and then there's holy fire. Right? If they obeyed and the holy fire came and consumed, they knew it was God. Elijah, standing before the prophets of Baal, dumps all the water on the sacrifice. Who are you going to serve? So that's one way to get to learn which God is going to show up. Because our God is a consuming fire. Kind of neat, huh? So when he shows up and you know something burned in you, which God did you think showed up? See, the same. Your testimony is awesome, girl. Yeah, but see, you didn't know what the message was. But you told us what happened to you. Yeah, the fire came and burned something. Okay. And we didn't tell you about, you know, what we were doing tonight because... Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Peggy's fault, as usual. All teasing aside, our God is a consuming fire, and we can tell it's him because he consumes the sacrifice that is given to him. We are what? Earthen vessels, and he's ready to come in and burn what never needs to be burned out of us and keep the spirit part of us so that we can manifest what? What is the reason why? When the consuming fire, the tongues of fire went into them. It went in and it went inside and it remains. Didn't go away. That's another thing that the Lord was pressing in me. The fire remained. Yeah. And to continue the process of cleansing. See, it's not a one-shot deal. It takes time. And we need to be patient. And there's nothing wrong with a couple of days from now and you're saying, oh my God, I'm having this problem, God, would you please release the fire and burn what's not needed? He will. Because he loves you. Burn up what's not needed. Consume it. I don't want it to be bugging me anymore. Anybody relate? Okay. If he's inside, what are you doing crying out on the outside? He's already in. The fire, the tongues of fire went in. Right? Didn't say escaped. Said went in. And he's a consuming fire on the inside. We have people, oh, I worship you. Yes, yes, he's in the heaven. But he's also in you. He's in us. The hope of glory. Will he manifest his glory through you? Yes, he will. Will you see it off and on? Yes, you will. And believe me, the longer you work with him, the more that you'll see it. The more you're going to be aware that he's on the job doing a mighty work. So don't be impatient with yourself. Wait for the works of the Holy Spirit to continue. And as that consuming fire continues to work in you, you're going to see the manifestation of the feast. Close your eyes. Father, I'm asking by the Holy Spirit that your fire would bring back the things that they need to have brought back tonight. Lord Jesus, as they go forth in this night and the rest of this second day of Pentecost, that you would just bless them in a mighty way, that they would taste all the things that you have prepared for them, and that you would manifest your fire in them. Even this night, as they go forth and rest their bodies, let the fire come. Let the fire consume. Let the fire work in the ways of the day as this next day continues. And then, by Sunday morning, Lord, they'll be ready to testify of your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.